I'm so glad to welcome you to our worship service this morning. We're glad to have you with us and hope you'll come join us again. Just a couple of announcements. I almost didn't have any announcements today, but things have happened since I wrote my announcement sheet. So first I'll call on Shannon, who wants to talk about Family Promise, I think. She didn't tell me what she wanted to talk about. But not sure I have to preach now. As I welcomed all of you just a few moments ago, we have some special folks to welcome. Daniel and Sarah Locke are back from Malaysia. Daniel, I was thinking just a little bit ago, when you left, we hadn't done all these changes in here. Had we?
They were just finished before we left. Yeah.
Okay, all right. I didn't know if you'd even seen any of this. So, all right, great. Sarah, you're up.
Good morning.
Let us prepare for our worship. Thank you. Please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, abounding in steadfast love toward us, healing the sick and raising the dead, showering us with every good gift.
Amen.
Let us come into the revealing and healing light of God, confessing our sin. Just and gracious God, we come to you for healing and life. Our sins hurt others and diminish us. We confess them to you. Our lives bear the scars of sin. We bring these also to you. Show us your mercy, O God. Bind up our wounds, forgive us our sins, and free us to love for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. The Apostle Paul assures us, when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ, nailing the record of our sins to the cross. Jesus says to you, your sins are forgiven. Be at peace and tell everyone how much God has done for you. Amen.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. To be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, mighty and immortal, you know that as fragile creatures surrounded by great dangers, we cannot by ourselves stand upright. Give us strength of mind and body so that even when we suffer because of human sin, we may rise victorious through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Be seated, and with the children, please come forward.
Hey, guys.
I need to ask you to hang on just a minute because I did something I never do today. I brought my phone into church with me. I never, ever do that. But I brought it today because just as I was getting my robe on, Mr. Jim, our music dude, wanted to schedule a meeting with me, and I didn't have time to put it in. Did you ever see your parents put things in their phone like they got to do and stuff like that? Yeah, well, see, I didn't have a chance to put it in, so I got to open it up, and there's my calendar right there. When was that you wanted to meet Jim?
Tomorrow at 1.
No, I can't do that. So, you know, I'm today at 1? You think today at 1? Let's see. Oh, he can't do that. All right.
Pick by Tuesday at 10.
Tuesday at 10. No, I can't do that. Friday at 10.
No, I can't do that.
No, you can't do that.
Saturday at
9. Saturday at 9. Saturday? No, no, I can't do that. Good time. I don't have anything next Sunday at 10 o'clock. I have church next Sunday at 10 o'clock. He knows that. You know, have you ever had a situation like that where your life is just so busy you can't fit one more thing in? Or have you ever seen your parents kind of act like that? Maybe so, yeah. Our parents probably act like that all the time. Probably as I was checking my phone for times, they were looking on their phone to see what they got scheduled and stuff at different times. We are all so busy. And in our gospel lesson today, it talks about how important it is to use... They talked about the Sabbath, which for them was Saturday, but for us it's Sunday, to spend time with God, to take time away from all our busyness. That's part of why I never bring my phone into church, because it's one time for me to be away from the phone and to be away from all that and spend that time just with God. Because we all get very busy in our lives. We have school and we have soccer and we have all kind of different sports and everything. We all get real busy, but it's important for us to take some time. And that's what Sundays are for, to spend it with God. So that's what I wanted you to remember today. Mr. Jim really didn't need to schedule a meeting with me. We planned all that ahead of time. But I thought it would be a great way to talk about how God is important, and it's important for us to spend time with God. And that's what Sundays are for. That doesn't mean we can't spend time with God the other days too, but Sunday is a special day where we do that. Okay, let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for giving us a time dedicated just to be with you. Thank you for worship and for this day. Help us to always remember that you are with us every moment of every day. Amen. All right, go in peace and serve the Lord.
First lesson, a reading from Isaiah. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall rise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob. From the mouth of the Lord has spoken the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. bless the Lord, oh bless the Lord.
Second lesson, a reading from Hebrews. You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them, for they could not endure the order that was given. If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festive gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused the one who warned them on earth, how much less will they escape if we reject the one who warns from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth but also the heaven. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of what is shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks by which we offer to God an acceptance, worship with reverence and awe, for indeed our God is a consuming fire. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The Gospel of the Lord. I learned something interesting recently. I learned that Santa Claus, based on the real historical person of St. Nicholas, is also the patron saint of pawn shops. We laugh at that, but we wonder, how could that happen? Well, in the Middle Ages, there were charities similar to what we now call food banks. They were created as an alternative to loan sharks. These charities provided low-interest loans to poor families. They were started by Franciscan monks, and they became widespread throughout Europe. Now, there's a traditional story about St. Nicholas saying that he generously provided a poor man some dowries for his 3 daughters to get married, and those dowries took the form of gold coins in 3 purses. The symbol of the gold coins in 3 purses became the symbol of pawn shops, and it fit with his title of patron saint. In the 1300s, people in poverty met caring friars whenever they entered the doors of a pawn shop. The shops existed to help the poor get back on their feet. These friars who ran the shops had the best interests of the poor in mind. Unfortunately, over time, pawn shops became more often a place that preys on these very people they were created to help. Now, that's not too far from the situation Jesus was encountering in today's gospel lesson. No, Jesus wasn't visiting a pawn shop. Rather, he was in the synagogue on the Sabbath. To put it in our terms, he had gone to church. And I think it's important for us to realize that going to church was important to Jesus. Just so it should be important to us to gather as the family of God to worship God. But here's the thing. While he was there, he encountered a woman who had an infirmity. She had been bent over at the waist for 18 years. She couldn't straighten up. And in compassion for her, Jesus healed her. Now, that would be a wonderful story if it ended there, but it doesn't. The leader of the synagogue began to speak badly about Jesus for doing that. You see, there were all sorts of rules for what you could or couldn't do on the Sabbath day. Now, if it had been a medical emergency, that would be one thing. But this woman's life wasn't at risk. She'd been this way for 18 years. What's one more day? The way he saw it, Jesus could heal her tomorrow and also keep the rules about the Sabbath today. And that's when Jesus made the pawn shop point. He pointed out that in being so focused on following the rules that they had lost all sense of what the Sabbath was really about. It's about worship. It's about coming together as the family of God. It's about compassion and caring for one another. And so Jesus said, "You're missing the point. Here is a child of God who is suffering. It's easy for you to say, 'What's one more day?' when it's not you doing the suffering. What better day is there to experience the love and grace and healing of God than on the Sabbath?" Then he went on to point out how they water and feed their animals on the Sabbath so that the animals don't suffer, and how much more should a child of God experience grace too. Well, they had no answer for any of that. Jesus was obviously right. And so, as fellow believers, we read this story and we tend to say, "You go, Jesus, you go get them." But maybe before we say that, we ought to realize that the "them" Jesus is getting is us. You see, the pawn shop point applies to us too. Far too often, we are much more concerned with our own viewpoints and what's good for us than we are with compassion for those in need. We've abandoned the original purpose for what God intends for our lives and sought to serve ourselves instead. Let me put it the way Ambrose did. Ambrose was a theologian in the very early church, and mostly in the late 300s. Here's what he said. "There is your brother, naked and crying, and you stand confused over the choice of an attractive floor covering." That hits hard, doesn't it? Our choices expose us. Now, here's the good news. Just as there was healing and mercy and grace for the woman who was bent over in that synagogue, so there is healing and mercy and grace for all of our bent over souls and priorities. In God's love and grace, we are invited to stand straight and tall in God's kingdom, to begin again, to live lives of self-giving compassion and care for one another, placing each other as a higher concern than ourselves. Open your eyes. Open your hearts. There is your brother. Amen. Gathered as God's people, we profess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. And he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, the life everlasting. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Living Lord, we are hungry for you. Fill us with your bread. Give us zeal for living your way. Feed us with faith that draws us closer to you. Lead us in lives eager to tell of your love, so that all might come to know you. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Savior, in so many ways our lives are bent over. So often we fail to stand up straight for what is right. So often we bow down to the whims of our own desires instead of your desire for us. Forgive us, strengthen us, raise us, and heal us. Lead us to live in your light and truth and love forever. Lord, in your mercy. Compassionate Lord, comfort those struggling with any illness or difficulty, that they may know your healing presence. In your love, bless all in need, and especially those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you are our ground, our source, our hope, and our all. Give us now and every day the assurance that nothing can ever separate us from your love. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share God's peace.
God of mercy and grace, the eyes of all wait upon you, and you open your hand in blessing. Fill us with good things at your table, that we may come to the help of all in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. O God, as a mother comforts her child, so you comfort your people, carrying us in your arms and satisfying us with this food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Send us now as your disciples, announcing peace and proclaiming that the reign of God has come near, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.